we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. In celebration of Women's History Month, we go to Sierra Leone, where football administrator and philanthropist Aisha Johansson is using the sport to improve the lives of vulnerable women. She does this through an initiative called Football for Reform. Eric Kawa filed this report from Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Football star Aisha Johansson is a household name in Sierra Leone, where she has been elected to the Council of the Sports World Governing Body, FIFA, and is an executive member of the Confederation of African Football, CAF. She is also the first woman president of the Sierra Leone Football Association and founded the Premier League club FC Johansson in 2004. She spoke to VOA on her work as a preeminent stakeholder in the world of football.
My career journey started almost 20 years ago in 2004 when I formed a small youth community club for under 12s, as it were. And these were kids that had just come out of the brutal civil war that we had and pretty much displaced. And I wasn't inclined on to doing that. You know, what it was just trying to get these kids off the street, really, and use the obvious love and passion and attention that they paid towards playing football out on the streets to trying to get them back into school and focus a little bit more on the schooling.
Today, Aisha is using football as a tool for change. This she does through an initiative called Football for Reform. As part of the effort, she works with various women in sports, fashion, and diverse backgrounds to campaign for peace and to reintegrate women in correctional centers back into society.
You see, the thing that we have to also understand about the girls at the correctional center is that there are lots of girls and lots of women in that correctional center that are stuck in there simply because they do not have the means of accessing legal representation. And I didn't realize this, and this is what shocked us. So there are girls there who are in there because they can't pay the fine for theft or whatever other offense or minor offense they may have committed. We cleared, four girls were released today, paid their fines, nine girls in total. Fines were paid, those have been cleared. So we're building a workshop for them, yep, with Fatima Samra providing a bit of money, $5,000 towards the building. And we're, you know, soliciting more funds and more help to finish it.
However, as the saying goes, in every success, there must be challenges. Aisha also has her own experiences to share.
You know, in retrospect, I actually now I laugh at myself for being so gullible. I must have been the most naive woman walking a couple of years back when I was elected into that position. Not once did it ever occur to me that, you know, you're coming into this male-dominated industry and you're going to be faced with all kinds of challenges. You're going to be faced with the sexism, the bullying, you know, the discrimination and all the other weird and wonderful intimidation and all the things that I was faced with. I had a vision and I had a mission. I had a football club that was hugely successful. And we've been traveling all around the world using football as an element and a tool for change. I didn't realize many things, that the dark side of the beautiful game is what I didn't understand.
Aisha's Football for Reform is pushing for women in correctional centers to get a program running in which FIFA causes will be rolled out, which includes bringing football to the inmates. For VOA Africa, I am Eric Kawa reporting.
Thanks, Eric.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
Still with Women's History Month, Herta Steyn has made history for South Africa at both the marathon and ultra-marathon distances. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Darren Taylor tells us more about the South African athlete.
1989 course record, Herta Steyn, the first athlete in history, female athlete to break 3 hours and...
Herta Steyn wins the Two Oceans Marathon for the third year in a row in April last year. In 2019, at the age of 29, Steyn became the first woman ever to clock less than 6 hours in the Comrades Marathon Uprun in the South African province of KwaZulu-Natal. Some of the world's best ultra-marathon athletes compete in the race that's run between the cities of Durban and Pietermaritzburg, a distance of almost 80 kilometers, almost 50 miles. Less than 2 years later, she became South African marathon record holder with a time of 2 hours, 25 minutes and 28 seconds recorded at the Tuscany Elite Marathon in Italy. In so doing, Steyn smashed a record that had stood for more than a quarter century by more than a minute.
It's been such a great journey that I've been on. I sometimes still wake up and think, I don't know how on earth this happened, but yes, it's been amazing.
Amazing is the right word when considering Steyn first pulled on a pair of running shoes in 2014 at the age of 24. She was working as a quantity surveyor in Dubai and wanted to keep fit.
I joined a running club and I thought I'll make friends there. It looks good fun. I started training with them and soon after that they said, well, you need to come and join us for a marathon. Yeah, it sounded all right. I thought a bit far for me, but anyway, I liked this guy.
Steyn remembers standing on the start line, confused.
And I said to the guys, like, who do I run with? How quick do I go? I don't even have a proper running watch or anything. They said, though, just go on feel and try and stick with the group and then go quicker if you can. But I ended up beating all my friends. That's how...
In the months that followed, she excelled and ended up quitting her job.
To start with, it was a very big decision for me. It was a big risk to take. Everything was almost settled and I was happy with my job and everything. But I thought to myself, I'm very young and I'm not looking at it as leaving my job to become a professional athlete or changing jobs to professional athlete. I was more looking at it as I'm taking a chance.
Steyn returned to South Africa. There, she demonstrated such talent that she was competing in the tough Comrades Marathon. Less than a year later, she finished 56th.
The real change came really in my mind because for the first time, I actually thought of myself as someone who can actually compete and compete with the best. And after that Comrades Marathon in 2015, everything else was second. And running for me, it started taking over everything.
The next year, 2016, she placed 14th and the athletics world started noticing her. In 2017, she was fourth. Steyn didn't run the 2018 Comrades because of injury. She did, however, compete in the Two Oceans, a race across Cape Town, and she won. Shortly after her victory, she received an invitation via email to take part in the New York Marathon.
So, of course, I was on such a high after the win. To start with, I thought it is a joke or it is like wrong. This must be spam or something. But it turned out to be for real. And I was so humbled by this and so overly excited.
In her first appearance in New York, she finished a creditable 13th. Steyn surprised herself by beating quite a few East African runners, the traditional favourites in marathons. The next year, she finished 11th. This year, she thinks she's capable of a top five placing. In 2019, Steyn won the Comrades to complete a remarkable and rapid rise to the top. She competed in the women's marathon at the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics, ending 15th out of 88 runners. Two of her major targets this year are improving her previous showings at the London and New York marathons. Steyn was 7th in London in 2020. This year, she wants to be on the podium. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thanks, Darren. In European club football, Inter Milan and Manchester City advanced to the quarterfinals Tuesday in the UEFA Champions League tournament. Inter Milan played a scoreless draw with Porto. Inter reached the final eight on a 1-0 aggregate. And Man City routed Leipzig 7-0. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the tall Norwegian striker, Erling Haaland, who turned in a dominant performance. Haaland scored 5 goals. Man City advanced on an 8-1 aggregate. For reaction, Iron Mike Imbonier spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. Fisayo Dairo.
I want to believe that it was an expected outcome for Manchester City to beat RB Leipzig and advance to the next round of the competition. But the manner of the result is what will have confounded many on Tuesday night. After a draw in Germany a couple of weeks back, you know, it started like a cagey affair in the first 15 to 20 minutes. But the moment City got in front, courtesy of an Erling Haaland penalty, and then he got a second goal within 2 minutes after, we already knew it was going to be one-way traffic. So it was not surprising that they got one more goal in the first half and added 4 in the second half. It was a completely blithering performance by the English champions. And they are once again laying down the marker that holy grail of the UEFA Champions League, they will always fight till the end to see if they can achieve it. It's one trophy that the owners of Manchester City honestly yearn for, but they were unable to have their hands on it for the past years. Perhaps this could be the year if they continue this form.
In another UEFA Champions League round of 16, second round game, Inter Milan forced FC Porto to a goalless draw to qualify for the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. What's your take on the game?
The game between two former champions, FC Porto and Inter Milan, really lived up to its expectations. Yes, they were former champions, but they seem to be the underdog fixture of this particular round of the competition, because both teams are not what they used to be. Porto won the Champions League in 2004 under Jose Mourinho, while Inter Milan won it in 2010 under the same man. But in 2022-2023, they do not have the kind of firepower they have in those years. So this fixture was always going to be close, always going to be competitive. And on Tuesday night, we saw some elements of feistiness. We saw fight from both teams, both literally and connotatively. And then it ended in a goalless situation. When you consider that it was a slender advantage for the Italians from the first leg, you know quite all right that both teams will throw everything into the second leg. But unfortunately for the Portuguese, they could not breach the vintage Italian defense that was on display by Inter Milan. But in the end, I think the Italians just narrowly deserved to go through to the next round.
Fisayo, in the UEFA Champions League games played on Tuesday, did African players make an impact for their clubs?
There were a couple of African stars on show in each game last night, and I want to say some of them really contributed to the outcome of the games. And we will start out in Portugal, where Cameroonian goalkeeper Andre Onana was easily the man of the match for Inter Milan as he shot out Porto in that particular game. He pulled off lots and lots of brilliant saves, including one in stoppage time where he pushed an effort to the goalpost. And in the end, Inter will definitely be thankful for him to propel them to the upcoming stage of the competition for the first time in a long while. And in that particular game, Nigerian left-back Zaidu Sanusi was in action for 90 minutes for FC Porto, but ultimately his contributions could not help his side to break the resilient defense of Inter Milan and, of course, the resolve of goalkeeper Andre Onana. At the Etihad Stadium, there were also a couple of Africans in action. Riyad Mahrez, the Algerian superstar, came on in the 55th minute for Manchester City in that annihilation of RB Leipzig. And he still had a little bit of contribution, providing an assist for Kevin De Bruyne for the last goal of that encounter. While for Leipzig, they had their Malian international Amadou Edara starting for them in that game, although he had to be yanked off on the hour mark, just after the hour mark, because it wasn't like a kind of game that the visitors would have really, really hoped for. In all, yes, former Africans on Tuesday night, a little more of them will be in action on Wednesday, because Africans will always have a say anywhere in the world that a round leather game is being played.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
After his team's 7-0 thrashing of Leipzig, Man City manager Pep Guardiola shared a secret with reporters involving an American actress.
Listen, I'm going to explain a secret. So whatever happened this year in Champions League, winning, even if I win this Champions League, we win this Champions League, in three Champions League in a row, I'll be a failure. I'm going to tell you something. I have three idols in my life. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Julia Roberts. Okay? These are my three idols. So for obvious reasons, Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods is number one. And Julia Roberts as well. So Julia Roberts years ago came to Manchester. Not in 1890 with Sir Alex Ferguson win the titles. Came in the period like we were better than United this 4 or 5 years. Huh? And he went to visit Man United. She didn't come to see us. So that's why this is, even I win the Champions League, will not be compared for the fact that Julia Roberts came to Manchester, they don't come to see us. So my idol. So that's why, whatever happened, even I win the Champions League, we'll be compared for the disappointment I had. So that you have to know it.
We know it now, Pep. That's Pep Guardiola, the manager of Manchester City Football Club and a big fan of American actress Julia Roberts.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Starting off in Dakar from March 11th to March 21st for the Sahara Conference, then heading to Cairo from April 26th to May 6th for the Nile Conference, and the excitement continues to build in the finals in Kigali from May 21st to May 27th. Tune in and follow the BAL on the Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Cote d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Coach Liz Mills and Abidjan Basketball Club lost on Tuesday in Sahara Conference action in the Men's Basketball Africa League. Final score from Dakar, Senegal. Abidjan Basketball Club, nicknamed the ABC Fighters, 73, and Rwanda Energy Group, 80. The American Rwandan Adonis Filer scored a game-high 25 points for Rwanda Energy Group. Now, Adonis was born and raised in the U.S. city of Chicago, but he has been playing for Rwanda's national basketball team in international competitions. Point guard Stefan Kanate led the ABC Fighters with 16 points. I think the Ivorian Kanate at 42 years of age, might be the oldest player in this third season of the Basketball Africa League. In another result from Dakar on Tuesday, Stade Malien defeated Kwara Falcons of Nigeria 78-74. The Falcons trailed by as many as 20 points in the second half, but they rallied before ultimately falling short. I covered the game live on The Voice of America with Mukbil Yabaro, and Mukbil and I both agreed that the player of the game was center Aliou Diarra of Stade Malien. Diarra tallied game-high totals of 23 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Diarra also had 2 steals before fouling out in the second half. Mukbil noted that the Falcons chipped away at Stade Malien's big lead after Diarra had to sit down. Stade Malien now has a record of 1 win and 1 loss in the Sahara Conference. Kwara Falcons have lost their first 2 games, and they now have a tough road ahead of them if they want to qualify for the BAL playoffs and final in May in Kigali, Rwanda. The top 4 teams in the 6-team conference advance to the BAL playoffs. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Tuesday night, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks became the first team to reach the 50-win mark for the season and clinch a playoff spot. The AP's George Tanner reports from the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona.
Giannis Antetokounmpo led the way with 36 points. Brooke Lopez added 21. The NBA-leading Bucks defeated the Suns 116-104. Giannis added 11 rebounds and 8 assists. The Bucks became the first team to win 50 games and clinch a spot in the playoffs.
I think the last 3 games we've played, playoff atmosphere. It's really good for us. It's really good for us to be up, lose a game, to be down 10, come back to the game, be up 10. They came back, then we kept our composure, win the game by 10. It's good.
Devin Booker had 30 points to lead the Suns, who have now lost 3 straight games following the injury to Kevin Durant.
I like how we've been fighting. You know, every game has been its own story, and you know, I think we have to get out to better starts. You know, we've been fighting uphill battle every game, and you know, I think that's going to be a point of emphasis for us, is you know, to get out and you know, start the games better so we're not on an uphill battle the whole game.
George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors were victorious Tuesday night. The Raptors beat the visiting Denver Nuggets 125-110 in Toronto, Canada. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto.
Toronto had a franchise-best 49-point opening quarter en route to a 125-110 victory at Scotiabank Arena. Fred VanVleet was clutch for the home side, finishing with 36 points and 7 assists.
I got out to a good start. It definitely put us in, you know, a good position, and that's a hard team to put away.
OG Anunoby added 24.
We wanted to win this game and then continue to carry it over the rest of the season. You know, just give us some momentum going into the next couple games. We have a couple games at home. So it was definitely important for us to win this.
The Nuggets' 3-point game was the problem on this night, shooting just 6 for 25. Nikola Jokic was Denver's top scorer. He had 28 points as the Raptors snap a 3-game losing streak, while the Nuggets' slide is now 4 games. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. The 6 other winners on Tuesday night in the NBA were Cleveland, Washington, the Los Angeles Lakers, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and New York. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
March is a big month in basketball. We have the Basketball Africa League's Sahara Conference games taking place in Dakar, Senegal. We have NBA games taking place. And at the collegiate level, the men's and women's National Collegiate Athletic Association championship tournaments are about to tip off at various locations across the United States. In the men's championship tournament, the top seeds are Alabama, Houston, Kansas, and Purdue. The AP's Tom McCabe reports.
Alabama, with a 29-5 record and a lopsided win over Texas A&M in the SEC championship game, is the number one overall seed in this year's NCAA tournament. And the Crimson Tide will begin South Region play close to home in Birmingham. Houston is the top Midwest seed. The Cougars are 31-3, but were upset by Memphis in the American Athletic Association Conference Tournament. Defending national champ Kansas at 27-7 is the number one seed in the West, and it's 29-5 Purdue taking the top spot in the East. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. Tom mentioned how defending champion Kansas has one of the top seeds. The Jayhawks of Kansas will play their opening game on Thursday against Howard University, right from Washington, D.C., the Bison of Howard University. Howard qualified for the big tournament for the first time in 30 years. And I want to give a shout out for my late, great colleague, Uncle Ted Roberts. Uncle Ted taught at Howard for more than 40 years. Professor Roberts, your spirit lives on, and we say, go Bison! Go Howard University Bison!
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
And that wraps up the March 15th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.